You know that the Federal Reserve is a private bank and not a government agency?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
It's a private bank?
That would scare me quite a bit.
What if you learned that the Federal Reserve makes money off the taxes you pay? How would you feel about that?
Angry. Like I'm feeling right now.
I would feel cheated by my government.
I'd be angry.
It kind of sucks. They're pretty much in control of everything.
I decided to drive back to Washington to see Dr. Ron Paul. He had been a congressman for over 20 years. I had met him previously in 1998 when I was running for governor of Nevada, and I knew him to be an honest and sincere man, and I thought he'd be very helpful in letting me know what the future holds for the American people.
Who owns the Federal Reserve?
It's secret, and we can't find out what's happening. So, but the Congress created it, and it's not authorized in the Constitution.
The government borrows money from a private corporation using the name Federal that prints United States on it, and then it pays back to the Fed, which is owned by private banks. We don't know who all those private banks are. The money that the government is paying back to the private bankers is the money that comes from you and me.
Why in the world would the American government borrow money and pay fees on it when it has the authority to make the money itself interest-free?
The Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express. I've never seen a full list of ownership for the Fed. I don't think anybody has.
The government works for a private bank, and the private bank works for its owners, the true masters.
People talk to me about, you know, the issue of Republican versus Democrat as if they don't get it. And I say, look, here's the way you get it. It's organized crime. All you do is you call the Republicans the Genoveses, and you call the Democrats the Gambinos. The people at the top, they treat it like a crap game, like it's their crap game, like they're making lots of money. Occasionally, somebody at the table shoots each other, but the moment anything threatens their crap game, they all unite to protect it. They're both controlled by the same financial, economic, and corporate interests.
Once the banks get into the picture and they form a partnership with the government gives them the legal power now to create bank-issued money backed by the coercive power of government to require everybody to accept that bank money.
In the course of the last century, they've converted this nation from a nation of independent freeholders to a nation of employees. And they're just one step away from being serfs.
Most people spend the great bulk of their money for taxes, interest, and inflation. And all of that money goes to these two groups that comprise the cartel and their partner, the federal government. It's not a coincidence.
So if Congress used its legal authority to shut down the Federal Reserve system, the American people would be much better off. Government should create, issue, and circulate all the currency. Creating and issuing money is the supreme prerogative of government and its greatest creative opportunity. Adopting these principles will save the taxpayers immense sums of interest, and money will cease to be the master and become the servant of humanity. Abraham Lincoln.
Young people today are conditioned from the cradle on up to think that credit is a wonderful thing. You don't want to damage your credit. You want to do what you can so that you can go to the bank and get a good loan.
There are no people who own their own property, who own their own houses, who own their own business, who finance their own business. They're only debtors.
The average young person today has no concept that he's being drawn into a web, a trap. Like he's in the feudalist system, only he's going to like it. He's going to think, this is wonderful. I got my new red Corvette, and I'm in debt for the rest of my life, but I'm looking good.
A decision was made. You know, let's get all the debt up, let's move the jobs abroad, and instead of re-engineering your skills, we're going to dumb down America, and so the middle class will disappear.
Really what most of the people in this country have become is food for the debt machine.
When a person borrows money, it puts a noose around their neck and makes them servant to the lender, which is exactly what the Federal Reserve System is designed to do. And now our Congress, so dominated by the banks, is helping them to entrap people even further by passing new bankruptcy laws, making it more difficult for the people to declare bankruptcy and get a fresh start, while at the same time allowing the banks to charge very high rates of interest. This is the way the Democrats and Republicans, working with the banks, legally enslave the nation.
Credit card industry is a huge political contributor. And unfortunately,
It just seems so, like I say, just bald. You know, this idea that credit card industry gives a lot of money to the government, so they will protect them even to the just abject disinterest of their own constituents.
That happens kind of a lot.
The board of directors of the Federal Reserve System is chosen by the president from a list prepared by the bankers themselves.
The process of finding a Greenspan replacement is ongoing and is being managed by a small group of people responsible for coming up with a list of nominees.
It's important that whomever I pick is viewed as an independent person from politics.
If the American people ever allow the banks to control the issuance of their currency, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Thomas Jefferson.
So the Federal Reserve is actually an illegal entity functioning within government.
It's illegal, and what we have given to this so-called agency is the authority to counterfeit money.
Do you have any points of view about the Federal Reserve and how the Federal Reserve operates?
They just enter something on a computer. Oh, you need $20 billion today. Here's $20 billion, but they got that out of thin air. Came out of thin air. It goes to the Treasury. The Treasury then pays the bills.
So it's no different than monopoly money. The cost of living is so high today because the Federal Reserve and the federal government have destroyed the purchasing power of the dollar. The dollar today is actually worth about 4 cents, despite the fact that the government, the Federal Reserve, and the media keep telling us that they're protecting the value of the dollar. This is a lie.
All countries who have ever attempted to create money on thin air, the currency is eventually destroyed.
Why did we give a monopoly of creating money out of thin air to a private corporation? The result is exactly the same as if someone were picking your pocket every year, because that's exactly what they're doing.
Originally, paper was a receipt, which is used as evidence that the money exists. Over the years, of course, the government has disconnected the paper from the actual tangible substance, which is money. So now we have a piece of paper which is evidence of nothing.
Nothing.
In the past, people were able to take their receipts, the paper, to the bank and get the real money, the gold, in exchange for the receipt. This limited the amount of money that could be printed, thereby protecting the purchasing power of your savings.
You don't have to worry.
That's good, because I work 3 jobs and I feel like I contribute.
You work 3 jobs?
3 jobs, yes.
Uniquely American, isn't it? I mean, that is fantastic.
In the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. Gold stands as a protector of property rights. Alan Greenspan, before he went to work for the Federal Reserve System. Now Alan Greenspan and the other central bankers want you to believe that the receipt, the paper, is the real money. This is nothing more than sleight of hand. It's a magician's trick. Because for them to maintain control over the government and the people, they have to convince you that this paper is really money, because that is the essence of their power and our powerlessness to maintain control over our own government.
The gold in Fort Knox.
Nobody really knows. When I served on the Gold Commission, I asked them to really, you know, do another audit. I remember it was 15 to 2 and said, we don't need to audit the gold.
It's supposed to be the American people's gold. And so we would like an accounting to tell the American people what is there.
I've been told that the Federal Reserve has taken control of the gold as collateral for the dollars they print.
They list gold on their balance sheet.
How could the Federal Reserve, this private bank, list gold on the balance sheet?
They claim they're holding that for the Treasury.
So that puts private bankers in control of the American gold. They could have taken all of America's wealth.
That's a possibility.
Shouldn't the Congress stand up and say, where is the American people's gold?
They're not audited.
They control the money of America, And it's not audited?
There is no audit.
Oh, wait a second. Doesn't the Federal Reserve work underneath the Congress?
Congress ignores their responsibility to do any oversight.
The president really has no control, nor does the Congress have any control over this cartel. It just has the appearance of control.
In the final analysis, the Federal Reserve bankers, with the help of the Democrats and Republicans in Congress, have swindled the American people. They have taken the true wealth of America, the gold, and given us a piece of paper in return. And again, not a word from the press. These frauds are going to continue until Congress is no longer intimidated by the Federal Reserve bankers, and Congress uses their legal authority to shut down the Federal Reserve system and to stop this loss of our freedoms.
Is there a law that requires people to file a 1040?
Not explicitly, but it's certainly implied.
Well, implied by force.
Yeah.
But is there a law?
I can't cite a law, no. I cannot. But, if they think it's the law and they have all the guns, you know, it's an authoritarian approach.
Well, yeah, but that's that's authoritarianism.
Yeah.
That's not a country run by law. Do you think America is going deeper and deeper into becoming a police state? And if so, in what ways do you see that as a congressman?
Yeah, I think we're moving in that direction because there's not much we can do without permission. The absence of a police state is that people are free, and if you don't commit crimes, you can do what you want. But today, you can't open up a business. You can't develop land. You can hardly do anything. You can't go to the bank. You can't go to the doctor without the government knowing what you're doing. They talk about medical privacy. That's gone. Financial privacy, that's gone. The right to own property, that's essentially gone. So you have to get permission from the government from almost everything. And if that is the definition of a police state, that you can't do anything unless the government gives you permission, we're well on our way. This is something that people eventually, I hope, will get sick and tired of and say, you know, enough is enough.
I sincerely believe the banking institutions having the issuing power of money are more dangerous to liberty than standing armies. Thomas Jefferson.
You must understand the Federal Reserve is a cartel made up of the major banks in America, and they are the ones that are running the show, not the federal government.
The powers that be behind the system, the financial interests, are able to exercise a disproportionate amount of influence on not only the economic structure of the country, but the political structure.
This would be like the ultimate reaching of government into our personal health lives, which would be unbelievable. And not even our government, some, you know, bureaucratic, diffuse, multinational, secretive government.
Oh,
just want to assure the American people that, one, I've got the authority to do this. American people expect us to protect them and protect their civil liberties. I'm going to do that.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help
me God. So help me God.
So help me God.
What happens if your own government is using more force and more coercion on its own citizens for the purpose of achieving its political ends? Is that government engaged in terrorism?
Now let's watch the government add insult to injury to the people of New Orleans.
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons. Sir.
That happened today in this wealthy neighborhood where homeowners had armed themselves to protect their mansions. Residents were handcuffed on the ground. In the end, police took their weapons but let them stay in their homes.
Wasn't that kind and generous of the government to allow people to stay in their own homes? How thoughtful. Of course, they couldn't defend themselves from looters.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
You never expect to do this in your own country.
Walking up and down these streets, you don't want to think about the stuff that you're going to have to do.
We are losing our right to property. The government is getting more pretext to seize it, the power to confiscate it with eminent domain. The asset forfeiture laws have proliferated. It's easier for the prosecutors to come in and make an accusation against you and confiscate your property, even though they have no evidence that you've done anything wrong. Guilt or innocence doesn't really matter that much because it's very convenient for the government.
Unfortunately, what is being sold to the American people today as Americanism, if you peel off the label, you find so much similarity to what we were fighting against when we were fighting communism and Nazism and fascism.
The government's now putting a national ID card together and they want checkpoints.
We will be carrying our papers, and they have recommended there'll be checkpoints throughout the country.
Isn't that what Nazi Germany did that everybody in America was against? Papers, please. May I see your papers?
May I see your papers? I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'll have to ask you to come along.
Wait, it's possible that, yes. Here we are.
These papers expired 3 weeks ago. You have to come along.
Halt! Halt!
In the new legislation, the national ID card is in it. It takes 3 or 4 pages to describe, and it will be connected with our driver's licenses. The states will be instructed on exactly what they have to do. Social security numbers will be used. Some type of a physical proof, such as fingerprints or retinal prints, have to be on it.
It is time to wake up, America. These ID cards are not about defeating terrorism, but they are all about controlling the American people. I arranged an interview with Catherine Albrecht, a leading authority on the RFID chip. Her book entitled Spy Chips is the definitive book on this subject. I wanted to find out just how dangerous these chips are to our liberties.
RFID is a technology that uses tiny computer chips the size of a grain of sand or even smaller, hooked up to miniature antennas to transmit information about items at a distance. Back in 1999, Procter & Gamble, Gillette, and MIT got together to find a way to commercialize this technology and make it small enough, make it efficient enough, and make it low cost enough to, essentially, their dream is to put one of these tiny computer chips on every physical item manufactured on planet Earth. The latest technology for identifying identifying people at the point of sale, for identifying people when they make purchases, is actually the implantable chip that you can actually embed directly into human flesh. It's a tiny glass capsule about the size of a grain of rice. It contains an RFID computer chip with a coiled antenna, and it can transmit information also at a distance.
Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over.
Homeland Security folks, the Department of Defense, and others have expressed an interest in being able to more closely monitor the U.S. populace. And one way to do that, of course, would be being able to determine who buys what and where they take those things. Radio waves can travel through walls, they can travel through wood, they can travel through the things we normally rely on to protect our privacy. For example, your purse, your backpack, your pocket, anything you're wearing or carrying. Kraft Philadelphia cream cheese has been tagged with RFID and sold to consumers, as have Mach 3 razor products and other Gillette razor products, without the knowledge of the consumer. One of the tiny chips could actually even be the dot on the letter I on the back of the fine print on a package that you purchased. They were talking about having reader devices in every airport, on every bus, on every train, on every port, on every dock. One of the most worrisome applications of RFID are proposals to put them into cash, meaning that you would be able to track every banknote, where it had been, who it had been issued to, and create, in essence, an audit trail. That would essentially take away the anonymity of cash that we now enjoy today. The ATM machine itself, as the money came through the roller device, would be reading each number, and they would know who you are because, of course, you identify yourself at the bank before you take money out. And down the road, when you go to pay at a major retailer, it would also be possible for them, as they're putting the money into the cash drawer, to simply feed it through a little reader device. It would go in, it would tag that number and transfer possession from Aaron Russo, say, to Walmart. Once everything you do is tied down to a single number and there is no longer the ability to pay with cash, then all it takes to render you a non-citizen is to simply turn that chip off. You will no longer be able to really participate in any function in society, including buy food.
So through the implementation of the Federal Reserve System, the American citizen has gone from being a private individual who had real money, gold, in his possession that was private, to a citizen who has no privacy because all money is now being digitized. They can deduct whatever amount of money they want out of your digits whenever they want. They can trace you whenever they want. You'll be at their mercy. God forbid we allow this to happen in America.
This is absolutely Orwellian. I mean, it's talking about Big Brother looking over your shoulder at absolutely everything you do, every purchase you make, every place you go, every company you interact with. All of that would be reported back potentially to the government.
Hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number as 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right, all right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and Sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife, Betty, subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards. Bring cash, okay?
Have we become so controlled and so ignorant about our rights that big institutions and big government can do whatever they want with us, even without our approval? I knew for certain the Founding Fathers would resist to the death what is happening in America today. And I, for one, will not accept a national ID card. And if nobody accepts a national ID card, and nobody can board a plane without one, then let the airlines go bankrupt. And if you can't open a bank account in a big money center bank, then open an account in a small local bank. And if we can't walk into a federal building, I personally would consider that a blessing. Don't allow these institutions to dictate to us how we conduct our lives. This is America, and we have free choice. We the people have all the power, not the government. Government gets its power from us, not the other way around. Think of all the men and women who died in all our wars, fighting for freedom, not Federal Reserve bankers. Do you think they sacrificed their lives so that Americans can be chipped like a dog? So we could all have a homing device inside us? No. This ID card is the last step before they implant us. And that's precisely the reason nobody should accept one. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to call in the propaganda machine, the media, and try and sell this as if it were in everybody's best interest.
We're working on a product that we have called internally a PLD. PLD stands for Personal Locating Device, which is an implantable GPS for which our company owns a patent. The hybrid of the two of these products, being Digital Angel and Verichip, is what we call PLD. PLD should be in prototype form by the end of this year, by December of 2002, and we are already working with the Food and Drug Administration as well as legislative agencies with these products and ultimately with the PLD.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their body.
After 9/11, I was really concerned with the security of my family.
I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me.
Talk about identification papers. Watch what happens to a woman in Florida whose license was suspended.
Get out of the car or I'm going to tase you.
The next street off the sequence.
Put your hands behind your back. Do it now. Do it now or you're going to get tased again. Do it now. Do it now. On your back. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
I can't.
Sure you can.
Ow, ow, ow. Oh, God.
She's got blood on her.
You tased me and you handcuffed me?
Yep, you're under arrest.
For what reason?
Your license is suspended.
All the power is in the people. And to the extent that government becomes alienated from the people, does things that people don't want, power is transferred until you finally come to a police state, totalitarian state, whatever word you want to give it, where the desires of the people really have no consequence. They go out and they vote. Doesn't make any difference which candidate they elect.
I'm a programmer. I work for NASA, work for ExxonMobil, work for Florida Department of Transportation.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes.
How do you know that to be the case?
Because in October of 2000, I wrote a prototype for President Congressman Tom Feeney at the company I work for in Oviedo, Florida, that did just that.
And when you say did just that, it would rig an election?
It would flip the vote 51-49. whoever you wanted it to go to and whichever race you wanted to win.
And would that program that you designed be something that elections officials that might be on county boards of elections could detect?
They'd never see it.
So how would such a program, a secret program that fixes the election, how could it be detected?
You would have to view it either in the source code or you'd have to have a receipt and then count the hard paper against the actual vote total. Other than that, you won't see it.
Given the availability of such vote rigging software and the testimony that has been given under oath of substantial statistical anomalies and gross differences between exit polling data and the actual tabulated results, do you have an opinion whether or not the Ohio election, presidential election, was hacked?
Yes, I would say it was.
So in other words, there's absolutely no assurance whatsoever in anything with regard to these machines?
Absolutely none.
Anybody who trusts electronic voting machines should have their head examined.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order will be built. An end run on national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault, Council on Foreign Relations. We shall have world government, whether or not we like it. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. Paul Warburg, Council on Foreign Relations and architect of the Federal Reserve System.
There's a group that get together internationally and they sort of play God with our money. From
you think that's part of what George Bush said was the one world order?
They can't have a new world order only with, a world police, a military.
Right.
I think the financial system ultimately is even more important than the guns.
The central bankers of the world are working together to create a one world government, a global police state as sinister as anything George Orwell ever wrote about, where every person on the planet Earth will have an RFID chip implanted, where the bankers and the governments can monitor every transaction you make.
A chip in everybody would be the universal monetary system par excellence, because there'd be no escape from it, and you'd be totally under the control of those who issue the electronic impulses in that chip.
Their strategies are being accomplished through the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, and the Bank for International Settlements, which is the central bank for all the central banks of the world. Most people don't have a clue that these unelected private bankers actually control the governments of the world. They have financed and profited from every war since World War I without concern for humanity. The war in Iraq is an attempt by the Federal Reserve and their partner, the Bank of England, to control the Middle East and to make it a part of the New World Order. To defend the New World Order, U.S. soldiers will have to kill and die. Arthur Schlesinger, Counselor on Foreign Relations. Military men are just dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy. Henry Kissinger, Council on Foreign Relations. Now let's listen to this quote by Robert Reich, a member of President Clinton's cabinet and one of his most trusted advisors. The dirty little secret is that both houses of Congress are irrelevant. America's domestic policy is now being run by Alan Greenspan and the Federal Reserve. America's foreign policy is now being run by the International Monetary Fund. When the president decides to go to war, he no longer needs a declaration of war from Congress. Dr. Carol Quigley, professor from Georgetown University, who was also President Clinton's mentor, said in his book, Tragedy and Hope, "The powers of financial capitalism had a far-reaching aim, nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole." And then President Clinton's Deputy Secretary of State, Strobe Talbot, said, in the next century, nations as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. All these supposed free trade agreements, NAFTA, GATT, CAFTA, are truly nothing more than the governments of the world and the central banks working together to create a one-world government. They are not free trade. These treaties are government-managed trade, and they are destroying the American worker. Through these treaties, the bankers are actually beginning to control the laws of the world. The fact is that this relationship between the bankers, the government, and the huge multinational corporations is the very reason why the government no longer enforces its immigration laws. The bankers want a one-world government without borders, and the American government is obeying them. If the government was so worried about terrorism, why are they leaving the borders open? But at the same time, telling American citizens they need an ID card with an RFID chip.
The Bush administration's open borders policy and its decision to ignore the enforcement of this country's immigration laws is part of a broader agenda. President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it, and he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States. Bill Tucker reports.
The Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America sounds benign, hardly like a policy that critics call NAFTA on steroids. It's a deal that few have even heard of.
It's being done again by very few people at the very top on behalf of the investment class, but the working class of people, political officials across our country from communities, from cities and so forth, they don't know anything about this.
Yet it was agreed to by Mexico's President Fox, Canada's Prime Minister Martin, and President Bush in 2005. Administration officials counter their critics by saying everything about SPP is on the White House website. And they say the partnership is not a treaty, but more of an outline of priorities between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Still, some wonder why there haven't been public discussions about the goals being pursued.
You know, I was asked the other day about whether or not I really thought the American people had the stomach to stand up and stop this nonsense, this direction from a group of elites in absolute contravention of our law, of our Constitution, every national value. And I hope, I pray that I'm right when I said yes. But this is beyond belief.
Look what happened in Europe. The people that voted down the European Constitution wanting each country to stay sovereign. Yet the private central bankers are pushing the governments forward to make this Constitution happen, even though the people voted against it and clearly do not want a world government nor one European government. Now pay close attention to this quote by David Rockefeller, and you'll understand what is happening in the world today and where the American people are heading as a nation. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But now, the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in past centuries. David Rockefeller, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, actually believes that we would be better off if he and his banker friends ran the world.
Benito Mussolini had a great quote about fascism. He said that fascism should be called corporatism more properly because it's the perfect merger of power between the corporation and the state. That's how he defined fascism. And that's what we're seeing here.
The media controls the information that a person gets. In various ways, they can make sure that the average American watching the tube or reading the newspaper is going to come out with a certain mindset. He's going to say, this is good, that's bad, and that's all they have to do.
You look at the ownership of corporate media in this country. Who owns CBS? Viacom. Who owns NBC? GE. Who owns ABC? Disney.
Americans have been taught to expect their salvation from government instead of recognizing government as the most dangerous threat they'll face in their lives.